Hi, this is Dr. William Renner. Welcome to this podcast on evidence-based medicine. I'm here with Dr. Alan Safdie, expert in GI medicine and nutrition, and the author of multiple articles. Alan, today I want to talk about the microbiome. Tell me, you consider us an ecosystem. What is the microbiome?
Yeah, I mean, for the first time, you're hearing a lot about this. It's been something we've been researching for a long period of time, but when we both went to medical school, there was not one class, one lecture, or one discussion of the microbiome. So what are we exactly talking about? It's a collection, it's a whole collection of bacteria, viruses, fungi, and other organisms that live in you. They're living in you, Bill, they're living in me. More of them are in the gastrointestinal tract, they're in our mouth, they're in our small intestine, more of them in the colon. We often focus on the bacterial aspect of it, but it's an entire biologic community that has a symbiotic relationship with us. And older estimates was that the bacterial cells outnumbered human cells 10 to 1, but we need to really include all these viruses and fungi and other things and count them in the numbers. So let's just say there's trillions and trillions of microbial organisms within you, and you have about 1 trillion organisms or 1 million cells in your body, Bill. And we're now understanding how important this ecosystem is to our health.
So explain exactly what the microbiome is for our audience.
You know, it's all the things I just referred to. The bacteria that live in our colon, we have tons of them. Every time you take an antibiotic, you're killing off a lot of these organisms. Our diet, and we'll discuss that later on, kills some of these organisms. We have viruses that live within us that have a symbiotic relationship, and fungi. In fact, one of the probiotics we give to is a fungus that we repopulate the gastrointestinal tract. And so what we're doing now is we're looking at the gut microbiome, studying it in a variety of ways, and discovered it relates to a lot of different organ systems.
Why did medicine largely ignore the microbiome for so long?
Well, not just medicine, including us. You and I, we didn't study it. For decades, we said these bacteria were primarily viewed as pathogens, things that were bad for us. So we thought of this bacteria that live in our gastrointestinal tract as something that's bad. So we associated this microbiome with infections, because bacteria cause infections. We associated with ulcers, or what we call sepsis, where we have bacteria in the bloodstream, or pneumonia. So everybody's heard of pneumonia caused by bacteria or viruses. So we unfortunately ignored it. We associated it. But advances in genetic sequencing, which is new to the field, we discovered that many of these gut organisms couldn't even been cultured traditionally in the past. Yet they're metabolically active, meaning they give off products that are good for you, Bill, good for me, and it makes a difference to our health. And we'll discuss later on that we're looking for clues for, in my field, the increase in colorectal cancer, and we're searching for those clues in the microbiome.
So these bacteria in our gut actually produce a hormone, I guess you could think of a second messenger type drugs that are absorbed by our body and influence our body. Is that correct?
They influence our body. I mean, they're not all hormones. They're not, active like your thyroid hormone or your cortisol, but they're metabolically active substances that relate to your brain, your heart, your autoimmune system, and we'll discuss all those as we go through this. This will probably be a series of podcasts on this because it is such an important field that not only we ignore it. The medical community as a whole has really ignored this. And just taking a little bit of care of your microbiome as well as you take care of the rest of your body is important.
So explain the brain-gut access. I mean, how can bacteria in the gut communicate with the brain?
Well, let's start, are we harming our microbiome with modern lifestyles? Yeah, Bill, you're harming your microbiome with your modern lifestyle. What's our modern lifestyle? Your Your diet may be low in fiber. That harms your microbiome. Your ultra-processed foods, that harms your microbiome. Antibiotics, we talked about that. Sleep disruption. One of the things that happens when you have disrupted sleep cycles, it affects your microbiome. Sitting on your rear end like we're doing to do this is not really good for our microbiome. Excessive hygiene, that we have some studies we'll talk about later, even with different types of mouthwashes, and stress is not good. So what we want to do is build this diversity. You know, it's a diverse microbiome, and we do that by fiber, by plant diversity, you know, by fermented foods, by our exercise, by our sleep, all those things. So sorry I diverged a little bit, but I thought we had to set the stage a little bit, Bill, for this. So
is everyone's own microbiome unique to them?
Yeah, more so than a fingerprint. So your microbiome is different than mine. Mine is different than my kids. It's different than my wife. So I've never seen two identical microbiomes in people. You know, but these microbiomes can affect or influence Alzheimer's disease. A decade ago, that would have sounded like crazy science. That my microbiome may be, you know, we may have exactly the same lifestyle. Exactly, you know, a brother that has exactly the same lifestyle, very similar genetics, but if their microbiomes are different, one of them may be more predisposed to neuroinflammation.
All right, what about the gut-brain access? Tell me about that.
Well, let's step back here. So what is neuroinflammation? And then, you know, which is neuroinflammation is chronic low-grade inflammation in the brain. So that comes, you know, there's chemicals in your gut that can lead to this chronic inflammation. You know, microglia, things in the brain that are very important for brain health. Cytokines, which are inflammatory substances. So this evidence, this blood-brain barrier, these chemicals can go across this blood-brain barrier. You have a barrier for your brain. It keeps these chemicals in and out. Certain antibiotics won't cross that blood-brain barrier, but a lot of these do. So what we find is this inflammation can be increased by factors in your microbiome, which can relate. What can it relate to? Depression, Alzheimer's disease, possibly colon cancer, we'll discuss this, and cognitive decline, mild cognitive impairment. So this means that the evidence is intriguing that certain things can improve this. You know, if we improve our microbiome, can we improve your cognition?
So what things in the microbiome can we do to improve our cognition?
You know,
probiotics, or should we consider those? Or
okay, it's a lifestyle. So you're right, Bill. Probiotics, prebiotics, which is fiber that feed the bacteria. Do you want to throw more fish in the tank, or do you want to make the fish in there healthier? You might want to do both. The fish you already have, which is your bacteria, you want to feed them. Fiber does not feed you. Fiber feeds our bacteria. So everybody thinks, well, I'm eating a high-fiber diet. What's that fiber feeding? That's feeding the individual that's bacterial flora that they're consuming. So probiotics are important. So fermented foods are important. Greek yogurt is great. You know, Mediterranean diet, which is really a very good prebiotic diet because it's high in fiber, complex carbohydrates. Omega-3s, which you can get from fish. Get them algae. I get mine from chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, which I eat every day. You know, so you want to increase this diversity that you have. We have these things called short-chain fatty acids, which are the energy source for our colonic cells. And that's going to help your executive function. It may even help, as we improve this, your verbal fluency.
So the fiber that we eat becomes very important for our microbiome. Can the gut bacteria influence our mood, like anxiety or such?
It's a good question. Absolutely. We're at the tip of the iceberg in studying this. You know, we're not very far into this. We should be. I mean, I'm in embarrassed being a doctor for so many years and publishing so many articles, and very few of those, you know, 20 and 30 years ago, even dealt with the microbiome except for Clostridium difficile colitis, which was from too many antibiotics. But we know antibiotics, people that take lots of antibiotics when they're young, do they have a higher incidence of inflammatory bowel disease? Possibly. We can improve not just depression indices, anxiety, stress, potentially, by improving the bacteria that live within you. And can probiotics improve memory? We can't say that definitely for sure, but there's some evidence that the whole complex of things, the things that improve your microbiome, such as fiber, diet, and your diet, adequate sleep, all those things can make a difference.
What about ultra-processed foods? Do they affect the microbiome?
Yeah, poorly. I can't remember consuming many things that have more than one or two ingredients. I was looking at a box of cereal earlier today, and I couldn't even pronounce the last six ingredients. And there was three different dyes in there. And yes, they affect the microbiome. Artificial sweeteners affect the microbiome deleteriously. They don't improve the microbiome. Too much sugars do. So, you know, we want to feed these. And in the future, you know, we may get to points where we don't just use bacterial fecal transplants, where we take actual stool that's healthy stool and inject it to somebody just for Clostridium difficile colitis, what we're doing. But, you know, we have experimental research looking in the neurological realm, looking, could that improve your neurologic function? Could that, there's a pilot study going on for Alzheimer's disease. The risks are significant if it's not done appropriately. But I think that, you know, on our next podcast, which we'll do very soon, we're going to discuss all the different avenues of research that we have. And the next one, we'll discuss the gut-heart connection. You know, how does your GI tract relate to your heart? They seem quite diverse in systems, but they do relate to each other.
Thank you, Alan. That was a great discussion on the microbiome. Stick us. Please listen to our podcast and stay tuned for more great information.